declared in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord feasteth upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. The 40th Psalm, the two last verses. Let all those that seek thee. It is natural that everybody seeks something. Person of ordinary intelligence have something that they seek. A natural man can only seek natural things, because nothing can rise above its nature. So that whatever nature we are of, it will determine where our treasure is, what we seek. In the 8th chapter of the Romans, that precious chapter, we read this: they that are after the flesh do mind or seek the things of the flesh. They that are of the Spirit seek the things of the Spirit, just according to nature. A fallen man seeks those things not only that are earthy, but those things that have death in them and bring death to the soul. Is it a miracle of grace to be brought to feel a need of that which the world cannot give us? And it really has in it that solemn observation, in the Galatians, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's in this part of the text. And it would be well if the Holy Spirit would cause this world to take effect and to be an awakening of any poor sinner that has been seeking nothing but that which shall perish in this poor, perishing, sin-cursed world. If that is their only portion, it's a dead portion, and it has the curse of God upon it. And if we could accumulate the whole world, then, my friends, it wouldn't last long. I have made the observation before, but it is a reality, and may it sink deep into our hearts. It concerns covetousness and greed. A man that obtains riches in a false way, he doesn't possess them. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. The truth of it is that his possessions and his riches possess him, and so possess him that bring him to eternal destruction. They possess him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in me. There's nothing to rejoice in this world, but I would be careful. I think of our dear young people, and there's everything to be thankful for. James divides things into two parts. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of a turning. God's gifts are those two sorts, good gifts, gifts of providence, gifts of his beautiful creation. It not only supplies our needs, but there's a beauty in it. In its marking, it's given to us more than necessities. Why have we got the beautiful flowers, and the gardens, and the trees, and the different the kinds of beautiful birds? They're not a necessity. But he's given us those things that are beautiful. They're good gifts, homes, affectionate friends. They're good gifts, and we should be thankful for them. Health and strength, a wonderful gift. But they're not perfect gifts. They reach the body. They can never reach the soul. But this thinking here is to seek the Lord Jesus, in whom is a fullness of perfect gifts. And what a mercy it is to know it. It's very sad to see some most worthy natural men, most intelligent men, of high education, and yet they're completely ignorant of God. And if they're just religious men, their very utterances declare that the light that is in them is darkness. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, my friends, to have the eyes opened, to see light in God's light, and to behold there is a kingdom which is not of this world. And that the things of God and of the everlasting gospel are infinitely beyond and above anything that can be found in this poor world. Then have it come into the heart, have the eyes opened, when the true light to shine. Now, this is necessary in order to be one of those who seek the Lord. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And the top lady gives us the secret of it, really. Our seeking his face is all of his grace. A natural man feels no need of the Lord. We may be ignorant of many things, but the most intelligent natural man that lives, there is ignorance of two things. Two things which you can never learn at a university. He's ignorant of himself, and he's ignorant of God. And therefore, the whole of his seeking are the things, material things of this life and of the flesh. And therefore, what we seek will ultimately be our end. And I do feel that it is an important consideration if we pause as to what our real end is. That is your ultimate object and aim. I do think of our dear young people that have life before them. And I do pray that the Lord will help them in life and all their concerns. There are many difficulties, especially in these days. The young people that seek to get married, the difficulties and expenses, I feel for them. But if they are brought to consider their latter end, it's right to have ambitions. But if the fear of God, the grace enters into the heart, there will be one outstanding ambition, and that will be to know the Lord, to possess Him, and to possess the riches of His grace, to have His kingdom established in the heart. You think of it. Everything else will be made subject to that one ambition, that one glorious end. And therefore, this seeking in the text is wrapped up in one parcel by Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, is the most beautiful expression in the book of Job. Now, look in our hearts. Is it true of us? We don't just have a natural man seeking natural things. You take desires which comes in the seeking. In the 38th Psalm, the psalmist said, Lord, all my desire is before thee. A natural man would stand before the world and say, world, all my desire is before thee. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in me. For there is in the world those of you that are seeking the world. For there is in the world to rejoice and be glad in. Sometimes it goes spark out. It shorts the warning. The only noticing lately that almost every day in the paper there's a report of accidents on the roads, in the air, upon the sea. Life uncertain. About those who seek the Lord, they seek that which is certain. They seek a portion which has God in it. They seek a portion that will enrich them in their souls. A portion which has the promise of the life that now is, not a natural life. The promise of a spiritual life that now is. The blessedness of communion with the Lord, to know Him, to know divine pardon, to know what it is to have communion with Him. The promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Of course, it may appear that you should go one degree further before you rejoice. Let all those that find me rejoice and be glad in me. But my friend, if I might speak about my little experience, I do believe that there is such a thing as rejoicing and be glad in Him while you seek Him. The shape in his side is the work of Christ. And the first influence of it is the Holy Spirit revealing the things of God. And there's teaching before there's this teaching. And there will be this known that this world is a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This world is a dead place. Its wealth is a dead wealth. Its pleasures are dead pleasures. And one will be taught not as a mere notion, but feel it in your soul. Well, I wonder how many of us on this point could really pray. Words are no use at all, but really pray and be willing for the Lord to answer the prayer. Instead of us, I say would be the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. Could you pray it? Would you be willing for the Lord to answer it? Oh, my friends, if he did, he'd give you something better. You'd be a debtor to no man. If he emptied you of this world, he'd give you something better. And you'd understand, and not merely in your head, but in your heart, the pilgrims, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods and had a reason for it. There's nothing ridiculous in vital godliness. It would be ridiculous for a man to take joyfully the spoiling of his goods if he had a reason for it. Knowing in themselves that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. I like this little word in, got something in it. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Not be glad on thee, but in thee. Faith enters right in. And that's what makes them seek. They see what there is in the Lord to seek. And how and what there is in His fullness fits their need. Oh, we get very low. And there are times when we haven't the spirit to seek Him. Sometimes hardly a desire after Him. But if we have the grace of God in our hearts, He will never let us sink so low as to depart from Him for this reason. There was a reason. It is because He will never depart from His people. Well, let us look at a few things that these people seek. They are spiritual things. There is one blessing that they receive that they never seek. That is to be born again. There's nobody ever sought for that. You might say, well, I've heard many, many pray to be born again. If you did, it's because they are. But in that one blessing that is bestowed upon His people unasked for, that blessing is pregnant with every other blessing of salvation. It comes with it. So that many of you know now to pray to be born again. But if you have, by the Spirit, it is just because you are born again. No natural man to pray for it. And this shows the freeness of sovereign grace, of electing love. There is a period known to God when all his sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. It is sovereign grace, its sovereign purpose. And that purpose is wrought out as his people are drawn unto him. No man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And this secret drawing is the secret of this text. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. That secret drawing for which the church prayed in the song, draw me, we will run after thee. It is the life of God asserting itself in the heart. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Now these are the inward movements of the life of God in the soul. Do you feel them? Give you evidence of life if you do. There's a heap of religion which is completely void of this inward life, this inward experience. My dear friend, do beware of external religion. Beware of it, wherever you see it. Be careful for innovations into the sacred worship of God. Religious activities, lightness, forgetting it, and where it is the Holy Ghost is not. But oh, look at this. Let all those that seek thee. It's clear, nothing else. Look at David in the 27th Psalm. One thing. And that one thing contained everything to him. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That, and that only, will I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That's the attitude and disposition of grace. Have we got it? No good talking about things. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. The first thing that we would seek is divine life. That there is something mysterious and sacred in the world life. There's something terrible, repulsive, dreadful in the world death. And we're either dead or alive, spiritually. Let my soul live, as said David in the 119th Psalm. Let my soul live, and I will praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Oh, to have a living soul. It is Christ's life. He came to that purpose, that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. All life It's from God. Every kind of life is a mystery. Vegetable life is a mystery. It is the work of creation. And human life is a mystery. Spiritual life is a mystery. Life. And when that life enters into the soul, it is a new creation. Two things enter simultaneously. Life and light always enter at the same moment. Oh, what a thing to pray for. If we are destitute of that and have all our natural faculties, we can never see anything other than things that aren't natural. And so in seeking a life, we seek this in the prayer of David. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. A natural man would be led by everything and anything because he would be completely ignorant there is such a thing as spiritual life and spiritual light. But oh, there is a man who has been taught that nature is darkness and death. Death, destruction and despair is all that belongs to a natural man. But when he knows it and sees it, his eyes are opened, then he prays, seeks it. Send it out, Lord, into my heart, thy light and thy truth. You want both. And you need eyes to see. And you need light to reveal. But you want truth for substance. It's no use to light up a room for a blind man to look into a mirror. And it is no use for a man to be brought to the light and to look into space and see nothing. It's light and truth. Let all those that seek this rejoice and be glad in them where it is. For the fullness of it is there. Another thing that this soul will seek is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Because all his natural religion and Pharisaism will be killed. It needs as much of the power of divine grace to kill a good living Pharisee as it does to convince a sinner in the dregs of society. I don't know that it needs a greater power to bring down a Pharisee as was Paul, touching the law. He was perfect. And so that when faith is given to a poor sinner, the eyes of faith sees him, sees the Lord Jesus, traces his going through his work, sees that there is a completeness in him, and that the work of salvation is accomplished. He traces him up into heaven itself, to sit before the Father as the advocate above. And there he has to dispense that the poor sinners upon this earth, all the treasures, all the benefits, all the righteousness, all the holiness that he has brought when he made contact with this world. And as we read just now, he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And this finished work of the Lord Jesus is set before a poor sinner who has been emptied from vessel to vessel, who has been turned to destruction in himself, who has been under the dealing of the Lord, I will overturn it, and will give it unto him whose right it is. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Be glad in thy righteousness. The substitutional nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential to his righteousness imputed. It is one of the most blessed doctrines of the gospel, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, that it can be imputed to a sinner without any works, justifying righteousness. That is all that the Lord Jesus is, and all the work that he has accomplished, and all the law that he has honored and fulfilled, and all the merit of it, and the victory that is won, is made over and imputed to a sinner. And at the same time, the imputation of the sins of a sinner to the Lord Jesus, and this is set before faith, you will be seeking it. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in me. We said just now about finding him, but my friends, faith sees what's in him as faith seeks him, otherwise there'll be nothing to seek. Faith views it. I think perhaps this part of the text is amplified in that word of James, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, see such things thereby faith that it holds him, see that everything that is in a precious Christ, and there is an irresistible attraction that holds faith, is everything there that you possibly need for salvation. And he continues looking. And it is what these in the text, that all those that seek thee, they're looking. They can see what is there. They're after it. They must have him. They're willing to lose their lives if they can but find this better life. He that saveth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's a hard saying, my friends, for there to break down thousands of religions. No, I've saved my life, I've saved my business, I've saved my pleasures, I won't let them go. But oh, what a mercy to be brought to submission to the will of God. In the standing case of Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What a fool he must be, the world would have said. The highest position in the world. It was a rich court was the Egyptian court. And he didn't appear to be great and great at all in this world. But the nice thing, rather a suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How do we compare with it? That's the point. Would any religion break down if we put to the test? If we were to come and meet together, I love to meet among them now, my friends. But oh, the Lord will try and try the faith that he gives. So these people are seeking that one object. Their eye looks through and up and beyond this poor world. That Egyptian court with all its glory looked a shabby affair to Moses when he had a glimpse of heaven. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward, and the recompense of the reward is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. He sought it. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Oh, my friends, I get very low, much in the dark. But now and then a glimpse, when you can really lay your hand upon your breast and say, emptied of earth I say would be. Not just to be emptied of earth. I emphasize this again. You must give a reason for what you say. If you make a profession or a statement, you want to consider whether you've got a reason for saying it. You wouldn't be emptied of earth except that by faith you've seen something better. Oh, that kingdom which is not of this world. I do have it, dear young people, upon my heart very often. I think of them with respect to the difficulties of this life. About, as I said before, my dear young friend, I wish you well. About, there's a reality. And as you turn the pages of your life over, remember this, that there is stamped upon every page, surely there's an end. And oh, there's a hope beyond the grave. To be seeking that which you'll never lose. That you'll take with you. To lay up a treasure in heaven where neither rust nor moth can corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. There is a happiness. And it has that set before you. And for everything in this life, to be made subject to that one blessed end. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. That is really, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee by finding thee. The Lord, I would speak with reverence here, that he's under an obligation. He's made a promise. He's faithful. Seek, and ye shall find. So that if you're a seeker, you must find. Because the word of God is at stake. He cannot deny himself. Oh, it is a good thing to have a promise applied. It's a sacred thing to have an invitation reach your heart from heaven. Oh, to feel it. It's almost impossible predefined or expressed. The inward sensations of the light of God in the soul. They bear you heavenward, and while the influence is with you, it will transform you by the renewing of your mind. Oh, to be able to live continually like it. I wish I could, but I don't. We're in the flesh. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. To be glad in what Christ is. And we have that really unfolded by Peter, whom, having not seen, ye love. He sees things that are invisible. Sees Christ. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Whom, having not seen, ye loved. Love is personal. Love to read about him. Long to know him. But he went a bit further. Whom, having not seen, ye loved. In whom? What do you mean? In whom? Though now ye see him not. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's the soul in the text. Full of glory. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. You'll be glad that he is who he is. You'll be glad that his sovereignty is absolute. And you'll have that gladness of faith that you'll be willing to submit to him in all his dealings with you.